Thad Matta hires two former Buckeyes to join his coaching staff at Butler. What we know about Ohio State's defense after the spring game, and a former USC kicker liked what he saw in the shoe over the weekend. All that and more right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to the episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Wednesday, April 20th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. Thad Matta is back in coaching, took some time away. I believe 5 years is the time period he took between ending his time period at Ohio State and then deciding this is the time for him to go back to coaching college basketball when he took the job at Butler. And he has hired not just one player he used to coach at Ohio State, but two. Greg Oden and John Diebler are now on the staff that Thad Matta is leading at Butler University. They are not a part of the full-time assistant. Those three spots are already filled, but they'll be a part of the support staff. And Greg Oden, his experience at Ohio State while being a grad assistant under Chris Holtman, and then Diebler's experience overseas and even experience in the NBA in the film room. These are areas that they can use to their expertise to help these young men at Butler University be all that they can be. Thad Matta, I did not think was going to come back to coach at all. I did not know. I don't even think I did a segment here on the show when he came back and became the coach at Butler, but I did not think he was going to come back. I know he had his kid, I think his daughter went to Butler University, and I know that was a part of the thing. He wanted to spend time with his family, with his kids, so I completely get that, but I didn't think so, man. I mean, health, age, all of the things that happen as you get older, they're just natural things that happen. I thought those were things that were going to cause Thad Matta to not coach anymore. But, got a little taste last year with Mike Woodson at Indiana, and Thad Matta, that job opening at Butler was just too appealing to pass up. He coached at Butler for 1 year, the 2000 and 2001 season, coached at Xavier, and then coached 13 years at Ohio State. Greg Oden, we all remember the 06-07 season, where ultimately it did not end like many of us wanted it to, where they lost in the national championship game against the Florida Gators, Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford, that squad. I was all for Greg Oden and Mike Conley and that squad there. Got to watch those two gentlemen play in high school, and I really thought that they had what was needed to beat the Florida Gators, but that was a really, really, really good Gators basketball team. But Greg Oden's experience at Ohio State, being a grad assistant and really seeing different sides of basketball and having a path in life that got him to where he is right now as a 34-year-old young man, that's something that he can actually take to Butler and really just build upon the coaching career that he wants to and start making his path, make his path right now. As far as Diebler, I mean, we all remember what he did at Ohio State. I believe he scored 1,500 points while there in Columbus. He was a 3,000-point scorer in high school. Yes, the man could fill it up. 3,000 points in high school. I believe he still holds the Ohio State record for most points scored in a career. 3,208 points, 77 points he scored in one game. As a senior, he averaged 41.2 points per game. I've seen a lot of high school basketball, as many of you know. I don't think I've seen anybody average 40 points a game. No, excuse me. George Hill did average 40 in a season. So I misspoke, but I do remember seeing a kid by the name of Romeo Langford now in the NBA in high school, and he could fill it up. But he didn't score 3,000 points in his career. It's just just crazy. But Diebler brings a different aspect to Butler, and I think that Thad Matta realizes, one, he wants to help these young men. He wants to help these young men that he used to coach, but he also wants to make sure that the fit is right. You have a former number one overall draft pick in Greg Oden, played the NBA, had some ups and downs after he was out of the NBA. He got arrested, has some things going on there. And now he got his degree. He's trying to get his foot into coaching. And you have Deeble, who has numerous years of experience playing overseas. You combine those two things together, and with Thad Matta, who is trying to make a Butler basketball program, take it to a place that it used to be. The Butler way, the Butler basketball way, is not what's been there for the past few years. And Thad Matta's trying to not only bring that back, but also, I mean, there's a fire in him to coach that we see. It's on Front Street, and we're going to see it next year and for the years after that. And I really hope that at some point Butler and Ohio State can schedule a home-and-home in the non-conference schedule, because I do think Thad Matta coming back to Ohio State to coach, even though it's not coaching for Ohio State, it's against Ohio State, he'll get a warm welcome in the shot. And then you go, and Chris Holtman goes back to Hinkle Fieldhouse to coach of the Buckeyes, coaching against Butler. I believe he'll get a warm welcome as well. You bring Deebler and Odin along. These young men, I think this is a perfect spot for them. When you're trying to get into a field, you want something. Sometimes you want some connections. It's all about who you know, networking, things of that nature. And when you have a guy like Thad Matta, who's been around a while, that has many connections, and that can assist you to get to where you want to be, take that opportunity quick, fast, and in a hurry. I'm excited for these two young men, excited for an older gentleman in Thad Matta to get back into coaching. And guys, I cannot wait to see what happens next when this trio gets put back together, to see what they can do when they're coaching on the same team. This is the time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them. Have you tried the Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, they're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They are better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. Thank you, everyone, for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen every day. And make sure you check out the Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft. There will be coverage of all 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch Odyssey and Locked On NFL Mock Draft special hosted by Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show all week leading up to the first pick. Where can you catch it? Locked On NFL Draft Live. You can catch that on the Locked On NFL Draft YouTube page. The Odyssey NFL Mock Draft, where can you catch that? Odyssey and Locked On NFL Draft podcast feeds. When? Well, the live draft coverage starts April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern, April 29th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and then April 30th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time as well. The Odyssey NFL Mock Draft, April 28th through the 22nd and the 25th. Guys, so much good stuff coming to cover the draft. Locked On Podcast Network has you covered. Oh, yours truly will be on day 2 of the draft. Buckeyes getting drafted. They want to pull me in for a live bit. I will be right there to give you your Buckeye fix as well. The spring game was huge for numerous reasons. And I'm not just saying that because Ohio State played a game, so it was huge. No, I'm not just simply saying that. There were questions we had about the football, the defense specifically. And I think we got a lot of things answered. And I do think when you look at it, at the game in its totality and what took place, I think we saw some things people can build upon and say, ooh, okay, I got a little nugget there. Ooh, I got that there. Still got some questions about that, but I believe in this coaching staff because what they have showed me in a short amount of time is that they have a plan in place and that plan is being put forth. And if we just trust the process, things will be A-okay. You know, the thumbnail, the little picture on YouTube. I might just put that trust the process because it makes complete sense in regards to what we're doing right now with Jim Knowles, Perry Eliano, Tim Walton, Larry Johnson. We just got to trust the process and let these men who know what they're doing do what they plan to do. In regards to the defensive line, I think we learned some few things. And what we know about the defensive line is there's probably going to be a rotation of 8 to 10 guys on the defensive line in most games. Now, granted, there may be times that may be shortened and tightened down, but I do think we're going to see a combination of any of these guys playing the football at one time. Of course, only 4, but with the versatility that I believe we're going to see with this defensive line, 8 to 10 guys could be easily in the rotation. I do believe 8 easily, but you could get more than that. JT Tuamaloau, Teron Vincent, Jerron Cage, Jack Sawyer, Zach Harrison, Michael Hall, Tyleek Williams, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Noah Potter. I do think Tyler Friday, once he's healthy, can be in the rotation. Ty Hamilton kind of up in the air about that one. Caden Curry, a freshman. I'm not sure how much and how quickly there will be to put him in, so not adding Caden Curry into this one. But the first 8 guys, I do believe, will easily be in the rotation. Noah Potter, 9. The 10th being either Ty Hamilton or Tyler Friday. This defensive line is going to be good, and I will say this now. I'm going to go into more depth with this one next week. The guys who started in the spring game, Zach Harrison and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, they might not be the guy starting every game at defensive end all year long, because the guys who I believe are the best defensive ends for Ohio State this year are the sophomores. They are backups on Saturday, JT Tuamaloau and Jack Sawyer. Watch the film. Trust me, these guys look different already. And I understand they weren't going against the ones the entire time, but when they were, they won most of those matchups. Keep your eyes out for JTT and Jack Sawyer. This duo is going to be great. In 2018, we thought we were going to get a combination of Nick Bosa and Chase Young. Unfortunately, Nick Bosa got injured, and he decided to not play the rest of the year to properly heal and prepare for the NFL draft. I think this year, for sure next year, we're going to get that duo. We didn't get Bosa and Young together in 2018. I do think next year we're going to get that year where JTT and Jack Sawyer are just destroying opposing offensive lines. Linebackers, there's not much confusion here about who should start, who should play. I think the one thing we have a question about, we know who the starters are going to be, still Chambers and Tommy Eichenberg. Cody Simon has a chance. I thought that was going to be his spot. But with Eichenberg having 17 tackles in the Rose Bowl and having, I do believe, 10 tackles in the spring game, I do believe this is his spot, not just because of the tackles, but he's earned it. He's absolutely earned this spot. When Ohio State goes and plays a 3 linebacker set, who will be that third linebacker, that strong side linebacker? Ohio State does play Iowa and Wisconsin this year, and I'm curious to see who that third linebacker is. I think, and I've heard, I believe it was Bobby Carpenter on Letterman Live, said he thinks that third linebacker will be Reed Carrico. That he's kind of been that strong side linebacker in practice when they go to the heavy sets. He thinks that role for him is going to be perfect. Yes, Taraja Mitchell, Chip Tranum, those are going to be guys that are going to be fighting for that third linebacker spot. Paliye Naoti-Oti, I'm not in on him at all. And so if you say, Jay, that's his spot, you got to show me film that proves that that's his spot. And I haven't seen the film. You haven't seen the film. So I have nothing to go up on that makes me say this guy is going to be the strong side linebacker during the heavier sets when Ohio State is playing those. Not just heavy sets when they're playing those teams, but also when Ohio State is in goal line sets, short yard situations. You're probably going to bring a third guy in, maybe another defensive lineman, and maybe even another linebacker. Who will it be? I see Paliye Naoti-Oti in short yardage situations last year. Wasn't too hot. Had some successful plays, but it wasn't too hot. I don't really think, trust me, I don't think he's one of the top 3 linebackers at Ohio State. I don't. I don't think he's one of the top 2 outside linebackers at Ohio State. Sorry, guys. I don't. Last but not least, the defensive backs. The one thing I learned about these guys, I think that we all know, is the gap between the starters and the backups is not as large as it used to be. Not as large at all. I mean, think about it last year. Denzel Burke started against Minnesota due to an injury, I believe it was the Seven Banks injury, and nobody even really knew who Denzel Burke was. But I don't believe anybody expected that type of play from him the first time he's on the field at Ohio State. Cam Brown on the opposite side was great. Then you got Seven Banks, and who were the other corners out there if one of those guys went down? Think about it. I'll give you some time. Exactly. It's hard to find out who they are. And we quickly saw, as far as the cornerbacks go, you're going to have backups Ja'Calen Johnson and Jordan Hancock. Those are two guys that I do believe are going to be the backups. And if they do go into a dime package, will they put a safety in? Will they put a corner in? I would have no problems by putting Ja'Calen Johnson or Jordan Hancock on the field in a dime package, because I do believe both of those guys can get the job done at safety. Ronnie Hickman, Josh Proctor, Tanner McAllister. McAllister is going to be your nickel corner, cover safety, depending on what terminology you want to utilize. But I still think, though, when it comes down to it, if you have to put in a Courts Williams, who I do believe will play based off some things that Jim Knowles has said, or if you have to put in Akai Stokes, who was really good in the spring game, Marcus Hooker, I'm not sure his status as far as injury status goes. I know he had a boot on his foot, so I'm not sure what's going to happen there. The young man that got hurt in the Rose Bowl, I forget his name. I hope it comes to me at some point. But he's going to come back and be a force in this secondary as well. Then don't forget Cam Martinez. Ohio State secondary is set, and I do believe we know we have more certainty, depth at the secondary position than we may have thought we were going to at this point in the season. Linebackers, we know who the starters are. Still kind of up in the air on who the third guy is going to be when Ohio State uses three linebackers on the field. Defensive line, 8 to 10 guys should be in rotation, literally 8 to 10. Jim Knowles wants to keep them fresh. Larry Johnson wants to keep them fresh. You have enough guys on the defensive line in that group to keep everyone fresh throughout the entirety of the game. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money. When using Rock Auto, why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Guys, the YouTube subscriptions keep coming in. We're going to keep on rolling with the YouTube show. I love what you guys do, the YouTube comments. My only request today, YouTube comments. I'm not saying this just to help the show grow. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to use what you say here on the show, because I know if you're thinking it, another listener or viewer is thinking it as well. So fill up the YouTube comment section every single day as we keep talking football and sprinkling some basketball as well. Be sure to fill up that comment section, so not only do I know more of what you're thinking about the show and about the team, but also just maybe I might use something you say here on the podcast, because if you have a thought about it or you have a question about it, something tells me somebody else does too. You never know who's going to be in the shoe when the Buckeyes are playing. It could be a player's parent. It could be somebody that hasn't been at Ohio State since 1975. It could be former players like Kirk Herbstreit, Ted Ginn Jr., Orlando Pace. I mean, you're getting You're getting numerous guys back in the shoe on a big day. Bobby Carpenter was there. Chris Olave was there. Garrett Wilson was there. Justin Fields was there. I mean, you're getting a lot of former players that are coming back for this day. You're getting recruits that are there. And one guy that you might not have expected to be there is a former USC kicker, Parker Lewis. Parker Lewis is currently in the transfer portal, and he took some time last weekend to go to the shoe to see what Ohio State football is all about. And let me just tell you, he liked what he saw. Parker Lewis was at USC for 2 years. Freshman year was a COVID year, played in 6 games, made all of his extra points, went 9 of 13 from field goal range. And his second year, sophomore year, last year, played in 10 games, missed one extra point with 23 or 24, went 17 of 22 for his four field goals kicked. It was 77.3 last year on field goals, field goal percentage. And Parker Lewis is someone that has his eyes about possibly coming to Columbus and being the kicker. I'm going to say, Jay, don't we have Noah Ruggles, and aren't we perfectly fine at the kicker position? I mean, specialties, I think we returned everybody at those positions. You're exactly right, but that does not mean you can't stack up on the players and you can't stack up on the talent even at this position. And before I go in more into depth about why this is important, I think this little quote that came from Mr. Parker Lewis in regards to what he saw at the shoe might be a reason why Ohio State is a possible destination for him to land when he leaves the transfer portal. Quote, there were more fans in that stadium than there were at any USC home game I played my freshman and sophomore year. And that was a spring game, end quote. Now, that's my kind of guy. That is my kind of guy. You realize that USC football, you acknowledge it, you realize, one, the stadium is big. I think the stadium seats 90,000 people, 92,000. They play in the LA Coliseum. I mean, it's a huge venue. He realizes that USC football, the level that USC, the Trojans, let's just think in, a blue blood of college football can't get 60,000 people in the stands. Let that sink in for you. You say, Jay, a blue blood, is USC really a blue blood? They have been trash lately. Yes, lately. You can be trash and still be a blue blood. I mean, things happen. Think about what happened with Alabama before Nick Saban got there. Check that out. Check out some of those quarterback names. John David Booty being one of them. Was he good or was he booty? You got to figure that out yourself and go check out and see how he played. Don't know where that came from, but it happens, man. And with Parker Lewis realizing, one, he knows that his role at Ohio State will change. They might just use him, this is his words, Ohio State might just use him as a kickoff guy, where he had numerous touchbacks during his time at USC. He also, so many touchbacks, 34 kickoffs, 27 of them were touchbacks during his time at Ohio State. And he could be an immediate upgrade for the Buckeyes at that kickoff specialist position over Noah Ruggles. The kickers, well, for Ohio State, you have Noah Ruggles, who's going to be the place kicker and doing kickoffs as well. Then you also have Jake Seibert, who is a backup kicker, who is going to be the backup for the place being a kickoff man and the guy doing field goals and PATs. If you bring in Parker Lewis, it's just going to add more competition. And nothing's wrong with that. Earlier this year, I'm going to close out with this little thought that Ryan Day said, and I think he knew the way the portal is and the way that the talent is at Ohio State, things were just going to work themselves out via the scholarships. He actually acknowledged that at one point Ohio State was over the scholarship limit. The scholarship limit is 85 scholarships that can be handed out to players on the football team. I think at the time Ohio State was at 92. They had 92 scholarship players on the roster. He's like, are you worried about what's going to happen with the roster and the scholarship numbers? He's like, it's just going to work itself out. Now, at this time, I do believe the scholarship, they had already taken back the scholarship from Seven Banks for this upcoming semester and for the fall. So that was not accounted for in the 92 scholarships. However, you're still over the mark. Jacob Cowan just went to the portal. You've had Legend Cavazos went to the portal. You're having guys go to the portal, and Ryan Day realizes with the climate of college football, things are just going to happen. And I do believe he believed at this point, things are just going to work themselves out. And maybe, just maybe, there's a scholarship available. If not, I mean, they may be able to work some academics and things like that to get this man some money. But I do believe, of course, they're going to try to find a scholarship for this young man. I do believe Parker Lewis might be a guy that Ohio State would love to have on their team. And with that mindset and being comfortable, being absolutely comfortable, taking shots at the team that you just left to go hop into the portal to get away from, I like it. I love it. Your boy wants some more of it. Guys, we're out of here for the day. It's a Wednesday, a hump day edition of Locked On Buckeyes. You can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. We're out of here on a Wednesday. Enjoy the day. Got some good, beautiful weather coming up this upcoming weekend. Be excited about it. We do plan on having a little recruiting update on tomorrow's show. John Garcia Jr., you'll want to be here. He knows his stuff, and we're going to be talking about the two of Ohio State's most recent recruits, DeJon Johnson and Bryson Rogers, on tomorrow's show.